Today's topic is, your life has to have meaning. I promote the idea that we could live to be 120 years old and healthy. Is this true? I don't know. I don't really know. I'm not 120 years old and healthy, and I don't know anyone who is. I do believe, though, through my own experiences and experiences of others, that the way we think and feel causes conditions to be certain ways. I'm betting that by developing our consciousness, we will become aware of how to create a long, quality-filled life. I don't think a long, quality-filled life is an accident. I think it is caused. To live means we have to not cause our death. Being aware enough not to drink poison seems simple enough, but I, for one, drink alcohol. Alcohol is poison. Putting a loaded gun to one's head and pulling the trigger is not life-enhancing, it's death-causing. The main ways people cause is through our thoughts, our feelings, our words, and our actions. I could say that our energies devoted to spirituality, our mentality, our emotionality, our physicality will determine how long and how healthy our lives will be. Some people are more highly focused on nutrition, vitamin, mineral supplementation, calorie intake, avoiding one form of fat or another. Others are more into exercising their bodies, often to make up for their dietary indulgences. Why do you do what you do? If I asked that question of hundreds of people, I bet the most common answer would be, I don't know. Most of us haven't been taught to think of the purposes and meanings of our actions. Now, we consider impulse control to be a sign of developing maturity in a person. If impulses and instincts are not controlling our actions, our purpose, our intentions can exert more influence on those actions. Our actions would tend to be more premeditated with a greater understanding of the consequences that are going to follow. In my writing and my speaking, I keep returning to the ways Christ says divine consciousness or God cares for our well-being. And if God and divine consciousness works for us, in us, and through us, it makes sense that the through us ways would be like God's ways, and it makes sense that we'd want to be aligned with them. A garden hose that doesn't permit the flow of water through it would be a very limited use. Likewise, for a person who doesn't allow divine energy to flow through her, would be very limited use to care for the well-being of others. That the happiest people with the most meaningful lives are those whose actions are directed in improving the lives of others is unmistakable. Research after research proves that to be true. Consider the ways divine consciousness cares for our well-being as natural, supportive currents of loving energy in life. They are growth, nutrition and nourishment, healing, protection, fulfillment of need, work, survival, moderated by rhythm, not everything appears instantaneous, and all governed by the law of cause and effect. Now consider that you can discover your own purpose in life in one or more of these nine areas, and by doing so, you will be more effective in deriving meaning of your actions and from your actions. Let me say this more directly. Divine consciousness, the source of your being, wants you to be more aware so you too can care for the well-being of others and then reap what you sow. When I mention the idea of living to be 120 and healthy, people grimace. Old age has been associated with decrepitude and that so many people envision failing minds and bodies and tubes and incapacity. If life doesn't have meaning, why would a person want to live at all? And suicides by young people who don't see the meaning of life are at an all-time high. It's not that they're frightened of 120 or any number like that. They're committing suicide in their teens and early 20s and so on. Oldsters are preparing for ways to end life to reduce their suffering, sometimes because they have lost sight of the need for meaning. The religiosity which pervades American life emphasizes obedience to authority, non-questioning, following, not leading, or exploring. With that as the backdrop, it's no wonder why our children and our adults lack the understanding of their personal purposes in life and the power to create meaning. They're not told that that's important. They're told that obedience to authority is important. And the only variation is who is jostling to be that authority. Is it a priest or minister or rabbi? Is it a political leader? Is it a corporate leader? It is somebody else. Is it somebody in the family? If we could each think for ourselves and find out how we can find purpose and meaning in life, we wouldn't be so eager to end it through the slow suicide of lifestyle or the quick suicide of destroying the body with a gun or other mechanism. I've been teaching and preaching that if a person could look deeply enough at any, and I really mean any, life experience, she would be able to find the good in it, the God in it. People initially challenge what they see as a naive idea. Oh, Tom, that's not possible. No, there's no good in this. But drilling down with them individually has turned up the good every single time. Oh, yeah, that is good. It's a funny thing about smallness and bigness. We all want to feel big, important, as if we're significant as a living being, highly respected. People appreciate or maybe even are in awe of us. People who struggle to find meaning and purpose in their lives can end up feeling small and insignificant, as though their existence doesn't mean anything or matter to anyone. Astronauts from outer space can see the Earth as small, which makes them even smaller, but the immensity of creation leads to feelings of awe about the interconnectedness of everything. Instead of being relegated to insignificance by their views from outer space, the astronauts become inspired and driven to make positive changes to the planet and the living beings on it. Their views shift from self to others. That is the key to discovering meaning. Removing the focus from the self and putting it on others. It would be like opening the nozzle on the garden hose. This concept seems so obvious, but let me try to create an image of it. And this is the garden hose. Let's say I have one. It's about 50 feet long, and its real meaning becomes apparent as water flows through it and expresses out of the end onto the flowers, the bushes, even a car that needs to be washed. I could say the purpose of the hose is to be a conduit of water, and it becomes meaningful as it does its work. The statement, divine consciousness works for us, in us, and through us, indicates that we are both the recipients of divine flow, we're the flowers, but then we're also the conduits of it. We're like the garden hose of it. And we direct it on other people, other projects, other ideas, animals, you name it. As with the hose, the more energy that we conduct and deliver to others, the more energy flowing through our minds and our bodies. And the meaning that we discover will be directly related to the quality and the quantity of energy we allow to flow to us and through us. It makes sense that our flows would be connected to our talents, our passions, and our intelligences, because they will most likely be most effective at producing better results, making us feel better, and making us feel more successful in our causation. There's an old saying that the teacher learns more than the student. I have found that to be true. The teacher, in order to teach effectively, has to study, has to figure out how to convey the information, how to present it, what word pictures to use and to create. Consider the subject from multiple angles, and it goes on and on. And the purpose is in order to bring the best presentation to the students so they can receive the information and be in a position to translate it into meaning for themselves. I suppose it's kind of like watering a plant. You know, the idea of watering a plant in midday has different value than watering a plant just before daylight. Watering a plant just before nightfall is different as well. There's a question of when is the plant most open and receptive to receiving the water. Now, I don't know which of those three times are most effective, but I know that if the plant is protecting itself from the sun, from the heat, and trying to hold on to what it's got inside of its cells, it's not really thinking about taking in new water. It's thinking, I got to hold on to what I have, and otherwise I might be cooked out here. I might become dehydrated. I might be killed by the heat of the sun. When we consider how to help others, the ways we choose should have certain characteristics. It should be challenging to us, not just to the people we want to serve, because otherwise we'll become bored very easily and we're going to lose interest. So as the teacher who is going to learn more than a student, we have to have some subject that is going to cause us to grow. And this challenge will help us help others. A lot of times people think, oh, I need to know everything before I can do this. That's not true. All you have to do is know a little bit more than your students know. And in order to keep that process up, you're going to have to draw more awareness into you, much like that hose again, that will draw water in order to disperse it. This means we have to discover ways of serving others that are interesting enough to keep us engaged in becoming expert. The second characteristic is we have multiple intelligence that demand use and expression. If we have these natural intelligences, they don't just want to sit there, be on a shelf like they're in inventory. They demand to be used. And, of course, we can work to develop some of the seven intelligences that are less refined, less developed in us, but it will be the naturally occurring, and those things should be obvious from early childhood, that give us the greatest rewards. If we look at those seven intelligences, we ought to be able to quickly, within 5 minutes or so, go, you know what? This is the area that I really gravitate to in the actions that I take. It's how I engage in life. The third way is our interests and our passions are strong clues to the directions we should travel. Imagine the topics that you're so interested in and interested in learning more about them. Maybe you already know of subjects that you love or work that you would do for little of no pay if you could afford it. You say, I love this, doing this so much. I love thinking about this so much. I love being engaged and reading about this so much. I love talking about this so much. I would do it for free. Those are the avenues of meaning. We could use the information provided in Christ Returns reveals startling truth about the ways that divine consciousness cares for the well-being of all of its creations as a menu of options. So think of that if there were a menu of options for how we can care for other people, and by extension, because of the law of cause and effect, if we care for somebody else in a given way, we're going to harvest, we're going to reap the benefits of that. And so we will be cared for in a way similar to the way we care for other people. In Christ's enlightenment in the desert after being baptized by John, the first awareness he had is that growth was divinely designed for us and all living beings. You could consider if you want to help other people grow, grow spiritually, grow mentally, grow emotionally, grow physically. If so, you would be a role model, a teacher, a coach, a guide in one or more of these areas. Maybe you'd be a priest, a nun, a minister, a rabbi, a guru, a meditation teacher, an author, lecturer, school guidance counselor. You'd work with people to help them define their purpose in life, even a drill sergeant in the military. You could be a physical therapist, a psychologist, an addiction counselor, a personal trainer. Maybe you'd prefer to work with animals as a veterinarian, an animal trainer, a zookeeper, a pet owner. You can also imagine a menu of choices that extends beyond what I just mentioned, all related to growth in one or more areas. It's the first thing we do. It is what took place when we were first a fertilized ovum. Growth took place. And growth, and growth, and growth, and growth, and growth, and growth on a lot of different levels until we emerge from our mothers, and we've continued to grow. At some point, 18, 19, 20 years old, we generally consider that growth is essentially peaked from, well, you're not going to grow any taller. I mean, that's it, you're done growing taller. But we grow more muscle, we grow in awareness, we grow in our ability to manage our emotions, and on and on. And we grow in the ways we can use our bodies. You're not born knowing how to dance or run or do any number of physical things. And we grow as we become aware of how to do that. You can also imagine a menu of choices from another obvious way that the divine cares for us, through nutrition and nourishment. If you love food, and some of us really love food, but if you love to deal with it, if you love to prepare it, and you really see food as a means to share love with people, this could be a path for you. Dietitians, nurses, chefs, wait staff, farmers, restaurateurs, bakers, others nurture and nourish through the medium of food. How about a nurse in a neonatal ICU in a hospital? You'd have to be a pretty nurturing person to do that job. I have only given a sample of the career choices that could be found under the umbrella concepts of growth and under nurturing and nourishing. You could easily add more, many more. And the same goes for the remaining naturally occurring divine flows of healing, protection, fulfillment of need, work, survival, rhythm, and the law of cause and effect. It occurs to me, as a priest wannabe, as a child, I have always sought to understand and promote ways to grow closer to this power called God, now divine consciousness, the source of our being. Even as a child, I had this inclination. This quest has meaning to me, even today. In fact, the idea of elevating my own and others' awareness, others and my own consciousness, has the most meaning for me. It's what I want to do. It's what I want to talk about. It's how I want to earn a living. It makes the most sense to me. And finding something like that for yourself really is a great idea. And the sooner you discover what gives you the most meaning and you embark on that path or paths, because these things are not separate, they're all interconnected, you can see that you can be growing as you're dealing with nutrition and nourishment, and you could be teaching it, and you could be helping other people, and you're protecting them by making sure they're getting decent food as compared to dying of starvation or malnutrition. These things all work together. And the fulfillment of need, providing work for others, helping people survive, this is, if it's important enough for divine to do it, I'm pretty sure it's important enough for us to do it. So the sooner you discovered what gives you the most meaning and you embark in those directions, the sooner you're going to harvest the satisfaction of your increased effectiveness. And those feelings of increased effectiveness are, in my opinion, some of the most wonderful vibrations to be feeding to the cells in your body. So, what's the long-term outcome from something like that? If you are nurturing and nourishing the cells of your body with the vibrations of love and sharing and caring, they're going to be replenished. You're going to reap that. That will be the harvest. I see a long, quality-filled life as the inevitable consequence of that behavior. I'd like to end this service with a prayer. This is a pluralized version of the prayer from letter 8 in Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. You can listen to this for meaning and purpose. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know that you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal, loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.